Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Looking forward to a journey today that I believe would be a blessing, information, and challenge for all of us as we understand what God is doing in the world in which we're living in, even through the nightmare of the recent hoax impeachment trial of President Donald J. Trump. Or I should say former President Trump, because he was out of office when the impeachment started. And the frightening thing is, ladies and gentlemen, if they can do that to a citizen, i.e. non-president, after he had left office, what does that bode for you and for me for the future of America and what could take place? We're going to be talking about that in a variety of ways today. But the primary theme we're looking at is Payday Someday. And that's the title of a message that Dr. R.G. Lee preached across America for over 1,000 times during his preaching ministry, Payday Someday. It dealt with Ahab and Jezebel, and Ahab and Jezebel's putting up lies, false witnesses to come against Naboth in order for Ahab and Jezebel to steal Naboth's vineyard. We're going to talk about that later in this broadcast today, of tying the loose ends together and showing you how this, I believe, is taking place with the false witnesses in the trial, the impeachment trial in the Senate with President Trump. Now, I'm not saying that President Trump is a saint, but I'm saying that we can see the parallelism of the guilty cries by some of the senators in Washington wanted to see President Trump crucified, if you will, impeached, destroyed. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus himself identifies truth. He says, I am truth. In John 14:6. Further, he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the Word of God. Therefore, from Genesis 1 run through the Revelation text, it is Jesus Christ speaking, if you will, not just the red letter edition, but if Jesus Christ is God, and he is, if the Word of God is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, it's all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, which is the Logos of God, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues each and every day, and we will. Someone said, you're either in the midst of a problem, you've just gotten out of a problem, or you're just going into a problem. And that's where we stand in society today as human beings. And so therefore we need the truth of the Word of God to be our harbinger, to be our shield, to be the light and the lamp unto our pathway and our feet. It is the truth that is decidedly hated in Washington. If you don't believe that, all you needed to do was watch the false, phony, fake impeachment trial of President Trump last week. And you understand what lying is about. You understand what deception is about. You understand the hatred of truth. And it was the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel, 1984 was the title of the book. and he projected where America would be and what would be happening by 1984. Well, about 80% of what he said in the book, as I understand it, is on target, with the exception of the fact it happened in about 2020 and 2021 and not 1984. But we've seen the progression of that, because it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factual today. But ladies and gentlemen, for the child of God, for the Christian, for each of us that believe in the truth of the Word of God, we need to hang on to what Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, said. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And so that's the position that I take, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to take as Christians, as conservatives, and Christians. We need to stick to the truth. Seek the truth, love the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, and tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And we're living, ladies and gentlemen, in the day and era that we need to stand and defend the truth. Truth is not heard of, seen, or sought after in the Beltway of Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators for the backup power equipment. Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about the professional landscape lawn care equipment, as well as the equipment for the homeowners. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Tools for Time is located right at the very intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flows, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the American flag flying 24/7. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest with us, and we're going to be talking with him in just a few minutes. But first of all, let me just set the stage of where we're going and what we're wanting to accomplish in this broadcast today. I watched with horror, I don't know if you did, but I watched the majority of the false, phony, fall indictment in the prosecutorial events in the Senate called the impeachment hearings last week. And ladies and gentlemen, I watched, and I believe most did, with amazement and anxiety, and a multitude watching it were simply watching in anger. I don't know about you, but I think I fit in all of those categories. I was amazed. I was anxious about it, but I was angry over it. But during the Senate impeachment trial, ladies and gentlemen, where they were impeaching a former President Trump, do you recall some of the major deception that the Democratic case managers used to masquerade as the truth? Now, I'm going to set the stage before we interview our guest today. I'm going to set the stage by pointing out some of the things that were masqueraded as truth. They edited out, ladies and gentlemen, the major portion of President Trump's speech, where he said, as he was instructing those at the rally at the Ellipsis there in D.C., he was instructing them to go to the Capitol peacefully and as patriots to protest. Not one thing did he say that was indicating that he was wanting them to riot or in any way cause harm or danger. But that portion of his speech was edited out when it was presented in the impeachment trial. That would not be tolerated in any jury trial or any trial in a court of law in the United States of America, but yet it was attempted by the Democratic, Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party, and their what they call the case managers. They showed clips of the forceful entry into the Capitol, but did not show the Capitol Police. Ladies and gentlemen, there's video out there, if they've not taken it down, where the Capitol Police actually removed the barricades, allowed four buses to back in and unload Antifa and the BLM rioters that went in. They were the first ones in the building, but they did not get in by breaking into the building. They were invited in with the open doors by the D.C. Capitol Police. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that was part of the fraud that took place. They did not tell the facts about Antifa and the BLM anarchists and their plans to enter the Capitol weeks before the president ever even spoke. In fact, I'm looking at an article. It says Senator Lee forces Democrats to correct false impeachment testimony. They're contrary to fact, Lee said, of the comments of the Republican David Cicilline, Democrat of Rhode Island. And he goes on to talk about how things were said that supposedly Senator Lee had said that he did not say. That's part of the fraud that was set forth and part of the case that was postulated by the Democrats, the Democratic impeachment managers, as they were called. The Democratic managers actually presented tweets. Listen, they presented tweets from President Trump, and they dated those tweets a year after the tweets were done. It was tweets that supposedly indicated that President Trump had intended to ask his folks at the rally to protest and to do danger, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I've not read the tweet, but as I understand, the tweet was dated back in 2020, and yet they showed it as being 2021, January the 6th, or days before that. That was an absolute fabricated lie. That was a fabricated evidence, if you please, and it was tampering with evidence. It was modifying things, and there were some documents they put a check mark on to show that it had been checked off as being correct, and it was not correct at all, ladies and gentlemen. They wanted to call witnesses that could have been called weeks earlier. During the course of any impeachment, it's the House's responsibility to set the case up, have witnesses, and to have a provable case before it's submitted to the Senate, for the Senate then to be able to be the jurors to make the determination if the impeachment should go forth or if it should not. But they did not do that. And so at the last minute, they wanted to call witnesses. I watched the chaos in the Senate chamber, ladies and gentlemen, when they brought that up, and the awe hush that fell over the Senate chambers as a result of that, and then the rattling and the chaos that took place, and then they started having their private meetings to negotiate whether or not they would call witnesses. The president's lawyer said, okay, if you want witnesses, then we're going to call Nancy Pelosi to testify, and we've got several hundred others that will have to testify also. And that's when, if you listen to the jargon that's used today, that's when Katie barred the door, if you please. That's when they decided we need to fold our cards and see what's the best we can do with what we have. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is Payday Someday, which is the title of a message that Dr. R.G. Lee preached over 1,000 times. And we want to get to that point later in this broadcast today, because what we've seen take place, many of you perhaps are thinking, will there ever be any reckoning? Will God ever deal with those that screamed out guilty? Because you see, and we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, the senators had to stand to the feet and had to say guilty or not guilty. It wasn't simply a yay or nay. It was they had to verbally say guilty or not guilty. And I want us to understand, according to the Word of God, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21 and 22, and then 2 Kings, chapter 9, there's a story about Ahab and Jezebel and stealing Naboth's vineyard and lying to have him killed in order to get his vineyard. And that's where we're going, that I want us to understand God's still in control, and God's sitting on the throne, and God's watching, and God's not winking at sin. God's not going on vacation. God's not asleep. He's not impotent. He's not in some way unable to handle what's taking place. But from the standpoint of where we are today, we need to talk about what took place in that situation last week with the vote for impeachment of President Trump, and then the finding him not guilty, if you will, and not being impeached. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today a friend of ours, a friend of yours, a Christian, former congressman of District 1 in the state of Florida, Mike Hill. Mike, thank you for joining us today, and let's talk about what has taken place. I want to get your insights, your input, your advice to our listeners today as to what has happened and where we need to go. So welcome to Let's Face the Issues, Mike.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. I'll tell you, just like a lot of Americans were, I join you in being shocked at what we saw take place last week with that sham impeachment trial of President Trump. It was a lie from the very beginning, and how they would continue perpetrating that lie throughout that entire process. And by the way, Dr. Youngblood, they spent $33 million to do that, of our money, our taxpayers' money, money that could have been used, as they always proclaim, to get out more COVID vaccine shots, though I'll never take one, or to take care of the homeless, or to take care of our veterans, Or how about all those that they are allowing to stream across our borders right now? It was wasted money on a wasted effort. And so I was trying to figure out, how on earth can this happen? Here we are, a nation that the world looks up to as a beacon of righteousness, of morality, and prosperity. And that's why so many stream to come here every year. They know that this is a place that is blessed by God. And so how on earth can we find that we have so many on the left who are willing to outright lie to achieve their means? And it was John Adams who said to us, our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And we saw that on display last week. None of those Democrats and the Republicans who joined them stood up to their oath to support and protect the Constitution. And so when they don't stand up to their oath, it proves what John Adams and others during his time said, that this Constitution is wholly inadequate to people who are immoral, who are irreligious, who have no thought of praying to the living God. When they said that oath, and Dr. Youngblood, I also said the same oath. Every elected official says this oath, that I do solemnly swear or affirm. I always swear. None of this affirm nonsense. I swear, and I'll tell you why I swear. I do solemnly swear that I will support and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It is a very solemn oath, and it is finished with, so help me God.
Amen.
Now what that means to me, and what it should mean to everyone who takes that oath, is when you say that oath, it's not just between you and the official administering that oath, and it's not just between you and your constituents, even though they're all included. It is between you and the living God. You are promising God you're going to support, protect, and defend that Constitution. And when they do not, they are abdicating their oath, which in my mind means that they are illegitimate being seated in that current seat. Because in order to get elected, you have to do two things. One, win more votes than your opponent, and two, take that oath. And if you do not abide by that oath, in my mind, you should be removed from your seat. All the Democrats, and they stood together, not one of them decided to come over to the side of what was right. And we had 10 Republican House members and 7 senators, all a disgrace, join the Democrats, abdicating their oath of office and instead going along with this lie, which they know in their heart was a lie.
Congressman, you're exactly right. In fact, I sat with horror in watching that, amazement and sadness, because number one, and maybe I just need to postulate it as a question for our listeners to understand. The process, was the process constitutional?
The process for impeachment has to be, first, the House must vote for an impeachment based on, according to our Constitution, treason and high crimes or high crimes and misdemeanors. So what they tried to do was state that a lie, based on a lie, that Trump incited a crowd to go and attack the Capitol. And that was an act of treason. That was a high crime. And so they knew that was a lie. And so
with that being said, then it's the duty, the responsibility of the House, Nancy Pelosi's House, to produce witnesses and evidence of that before it goes to the Senate for an actual trial, for the Senate then to become the jury, to hear the evidence and to see the witnesses and to affirm either, yes, this is true, or no, it is not true, just as in a court of law. But that process was not followed, was it?
No, it was not. They did not call any witnesses. They did not go through the proper procedures and processes. And instead, they rammed it through in such a quick fashion because they knew what they were doing was wrong, and that if it received enough scrutiny from the American people, that they would be called out on it. But this is a group of people who don't care. They didn't care that they were caught stealing an election, a presidential election, and even after they were caught, and now we had a Senate election coming out of the state of Georgia, they had the audacity, the brazen audacity, to cheat again, doing the exact same thing with the Dominion machines and counting fraudulent ballots, and with a almost a sideways look was, so what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. I dare you to do anything about it. And nothing was done about it. Those two senators who were elected in Georgia both cheated. The Democrat Party cheated to get them there, all with the purpose of they knew if they got them elected, then they had a chance of impeaching President Trump. So
they're holding an illegitimate seat based on the way they were elected.
That's correct. And also because of abdicating their oath of office. They're all illegitimate. All the Democrats who voted for that impeachment, and also the Republicans who joined them, who tried to paradoxically state that they were following the Constitution in impeaching the president when they were not at all. So once it leaves the House, it goes over to the Senate. The Senate, that process is supposed to be presided over by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
That's right.
And he refused. He says, no, he understood that it was all a sham. And so they put instead as the presiding officer, completely against the Constitution, against all the rules, Senator Patrick Leahy. And I didn't even know he was still in the Senate. I thought, amazing, that man has been there 150 years.
That's right.
And here he is sitting there presiding over this, which he had no authority to do.
None
at all. And if it were me, well, I say this, Dr. Youngblood, I would say I'm not going to participate in this sham impeachment. But then if you had left and your vote's not counted, then they may have had enough to impeach Trump. So you had to be there. But it was such a shame, such a crying shame, that the world witnessed what is happening here in the United States, that we are no better than some banana republic who will elect a president illegally, elect Senate members illegally, and conduct an impeachment illegally. And it's a shame and a disgrace on the United States of America.
Congressman, you're exactly right, and that's my sentiment completely. But part of the illegitimacy of it, constitutionally speaking, and that is the, the major element that I'm speaking about and concerned about. And yet we had one of the senators, Senator Richard Burr from North Carolina, that admitted that he violated the Constitution by voting to impeach Trump. Let me just read you, and perhaps you're familiar with this, a quote that he made. When this process started, I'm speaking, quoting now from Republican Richard Burr, senator from North Carolina. When this process started, I believed that it was unconstitutional to impeach a president who was no longer in office. I still believe that to be the case. However, the Senate is an institution based on precedents. And giving the majority of the Senate voted to proceed with the trial, the question of constitutionality is now an established precedent, Burr said in his statement. So the point is that he knew it was unconstitutional, but he voted that it was constitutional for them to proceed with it, because that was a procedural vote that they took before they went into the hearing. And Burr now admits that he did so that it sets the benchmark, the precedents, so that in the future a House can prosecute and persecute and attempt to impeach a president based on a precedence that has been set by an unconstitutional vote. Am I reading that correctly?
You are, and he is completely and emphatically wrong. You cannot set precedents based on the wrong decision based on doing something unconstitutional. We have too often judges who will make a decision based on what they call precedent, and that precedent sets the law, even though it does not. The Constitution is clear that only Congress, the legislative body, can set law, not some previous judge's opinion. Well, all of a sudden that becomes precedent law. That is wrong. There is no basis for it in our Constitution. And this congressman who says now we have set precedent and it becomes law, that is emphatically wrong, even though that is what they teach those lawyers in law school nowadays. The only way that something can become law is if it is passed by the legislative body and then signed into law by the president. There is, or in the states, by the governor. There is no other mechanism where a judge can issue an opinion, or in this case, a congressperson can issue an opinion and say, based on my opinion, this now becomes precedent law. No, it does not. He is emphatically wrong.
Yet that is his opinion, and that is the opinion that probably will sway future processes like this if we're not very, very careful. Congressman, hold a minute, just a minute after we take our next caller. We want to talk about Nancy Pelosi, and they're wanting to call witnesses, and the Republicans wanted to call her as a witness, and why then they shut that process down. Greg, I believe we have you on the line. Go over your question and comment, please.
The Honorable Mike Hill is absolutely right. What they've done is perverted the law with this notion that, stare decisis, those Latin words, let the ruling stand, with what they're calling precedent or super precedent. That's not language you'd have found out of our founding fathers. We're a nation of laws and not of men. And when one man or one woman in a black robe can all of a sudden stand the entire system on its head, or a group, a panel of judges, three or five or seven, can stand the entire law on its head. And we've seen this over and over and over the course of years, and more recently, truly perverting the will and the intent of both the law as well as the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States. And until we return to the original, until we return to these constitutional originalists that's seen as a perversion from the left, but that's exactly what we need, is constitutional originalists that are making decisions based on what the original intent of that document was. And that's why the oath is so very important. That's why the oath is so very important. When you swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, that should mean something. Years ago when I challenged that oath, it was because they had perverted it by adding the words "in government." Now, Mr. Hill has covered that before, but that was a perversion. And we can't support both the Constitution and the government, because many times our government tramples our constitutional rights. It's a perverse system today. It truly is.
Absolutely. Congressman, what do you have to say in relationship to what Greg just stated?
Greg is right on target. He's absolutely right. And what he was referring to, where I stated it was added to the oath of "I solemnly swear to support and protect the U.S. Constitution and its government," that's at the state level. And it is not with all states, as I've learned. It was with the Confederate states, where they were being forced to swear that they would not go against the Union again, against the federal government. And so they were forced to say, "I solemnly swear to support and defend the U.S. Constitution and its government." But that's wrong. That should not be added to that oath. And in fact, Dr. Youngblood, when I was first elected in 2013, I refused to say it. But I was told that if I did not, I could not fill the seat that I was in. So I was forced to say that oath, which I objected to.
Congressman and Greg, hold on just for a moment. We're going to have the 1 minute top of the hour news. Don't go away. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to face the issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.